may be seated. We're so glad that you are here this morning, joining us in our series, Be Resolute. So we're finishing up our series. We've talked about being resolute in spiritual goals. How many guys have set some spiritual goals for the year, and you're being resolute? Maybe you're fasting, you're praying, you're reading the Word more. You're being more intentional about your spiritual goals. We talked about financial goals. How many of you guys have said, hey, look, I'm making some changes this year in my finances. I want things to be different. I don't want it to be the same. I'm going to be resolute in my finances. And then we talked about life goals and relationship goals, that you would decide that you would be resolute in all of these goals, and that the people who influence you, the people who you are yoked to, that they will be leading you closer to Christ and not further away. And so today we want to talk about our wellness goals, and the title of this one is called Get Fit, all right? Get Fit. So I pray that you would all still love me after this message, you know, and don't be too harsh on me. I love you. Know that whatever I say today, I am saying out of love. I'm not saying to pick on anybody, to beat anybody down. But as a pastor, as a shepherd, I say this out of love, okay? So just know that before I get into this, because this is a hard message to preach, all right? So we're going to jump right into this. I have a couple of scriptures I want to give you guys. And so normally I take one passage and I'll just break it down and just, but today we're going to go through several scriptures in the Bible, just kind of talking about fitness and health and healthiness and all this great stuff, right? How many of you guys have made a fitness goal at the beginning of 2019? So we got a couple of hands flying up. Awesome. Now, you know, what I've noticed is that a lot of people do make fitness goals at the beginning of the year. And, you know, we're in February now, so you start to see less and less people at the gym, right? Because January is great, right? And so everybody's at the gym in January. But mid-February comes around, it's like, yeah, I don't really want to do that anymore, right? And so you begin to see this decline of people who say, you know what, I don't think fitness is that big of a deal. We're going to look at what the Word of God says about it, and hopefully you'll be touched today. 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8 says, rather train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. And so whenever we read this scripture, we're like, well, there it goes, God. See, I don't need to exercise my body because you said godliness, training for godliness is so much better than training physically, right? And so we use this scripture to kind of say, well, you know, if there is something more important than physical fitness, I'm going to focus on that one thing, right? I'm going to focus on godliness. The room got quiet. Anyway, and so in doing so, we kind of overlook the fact that it says bodily training is of some value. But we like to say, oh, no, it's more important to train ourselves for godliness. And that is true. We are to train ourselves for godliness. But at the same time, I believe the Bible has a lot to say about how we handle ourselves physically. All right? In 1 Corinthians, so the same guy who wrote this to 1 Timothy, he writes in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, he says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself would be disqualified. So Paul compares his walk, his Christian faith, to that of preparing an athlete would prepare his body for a competition. And he says, I discipline my body. And so just a definition of an athlete is one who participates in a strenuous or competitive or physical sport or game. And then he says, look, I discipline my body. And so whenever you look up this word discipline in the Greek, it really means to beat black and blue, to smite, so as to cause bruises and livid spots. Like a boxer who buffets his body This is what Paul is describing, how he should handle his body. And he's like, he's not taking it easy. He's like, man, I buffet my body. I make it do things that, it, you know, I push it beyond its limits. And I train it, I discipline my body. And he says he does all this so that he does not feel disqualified. Let's look back at it. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, I can attest to what Paul is saying in this particular scripture. Whenever I first started working out, I was in bad shape. Yeah, I might have been skinny and like twiggish, but still, I was in bad shape. I remember this was before Tara and I were together. This one girl had I was talking to at the time. She invites me to go run a race with her. I was like, yeah, okay, no problem, right? I can do this. I'm just going to show up to the race and I'm going to run. It's not going to be a big deal, right? I'd never ran a 5K in my life. And so I show up to this race, and, you know, so I don't know where she is. She, like, kind of left me for her friends. So I'm like, man, am I still going to do this? And so anyway, the gun goes off, and we start running. And, you know, before I even get to a mile in this race, this is a 3.1-mile race. Before I even get to a mile in this race, I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'm about to die, you know. And there's, like, there's grandmas passing me on by, like, you know, and there's ladies with strollers passing me on by. I was like, man, this is embarrassing, you know. I am out of shape. And so I said, well, you know what, I'm going to work up a little bit more stamina. You know, being a grandma can pass me up, right? I'm gonna try a little bit harder, right? This is embarrassing. So I try to bring myself back to a run after I came to a walk. And before I even get to the second mile, I'm you know, just about to die, you know, and there's more people passing me on by. I'm like, man, this is embarrassing, you know. I'm like, man, I thought I was in good shape. But so this is what inspired me to get back into the gym and to start working out. And so whenever I first started going to the gym, so whenever Paul says, look, lest I be disqualified, I want to prove myself lest I be disqualified whenever I'm preaching to others. And so at the gym, it's like you have to prove yourself. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You go to the gym, and there's guys who've been there for like years. Like, yeah. You know, they're like lifting like 300 pounds with one arm. You're like, that dude got it, bro. I mean, and so you're looking at myself, my little bit of scrawny arms. I'm like, got the 15-pound weights. I'm like, man, this is not the same thing, right? And so you feel like you have to prove yourself in front of all these guys. And so, but if I would just go into the gym and do some half-hearted workout, and just show up sometimes, but not all the time to the gym, and just kind of give it a halfway, you know, just a halfway. If I just give halfway, nobody's going to take me seriously. And because nobody's going to take me seriously, I lose my ability to speak into their lives. But because I have been faithful, because I show up every single day, 5 days a week, and because whenever I push through difficulties, and I make myself go to even further extremes, I've gained the respect of most of those guys in the gym. And so I'm able to speak into their life about something kingdom-minded. I'm able to open up the scriptures and say, hey, look, this is what God done for me. Why? Because, first of all, I've gained the respect. I didn't give some half-hearted workout, but I gave it my all every single time that I go there. And so because of that, I believe I'm able to speak life into their situations. Paul says, I discipline my body so that way I'm not disqualified when preaching to others. So he uses the same amount of self-control to control his body as an athlete would in preparing for a competition. So my first point that I want to bring out to you guys is get fit for God-sized missions. Get fit for God-sized missions. So it was important for Paul to discipline his body. You know that over his 3 missionary journeys, Paul would walk by foot 10,000 miles. I'm not saying 10,000 steps. How many of you guys have like these little watches that keep track of your steps? Yeah, you might reach 10,000 steps in a day. Paul walked 10,000 miles by foot on his missionary journeys. He also traveled some over 2,000 miles by boat. So if you combine both, all of his missionary journeys, that's over 12,000 miles that Paul would travel for the kingdom of God, because God called him on a specific journey, and so he had to be in shape. He had to have spirit. He had to have discipline spiritually, yes, but he had to discipline his body as well and say, hey, look, I'm going to buffet my body so that way whenever God calls me to do something, I won't be disqualified, that I will be able to do what God has called me to do. So some scholars say that whenever Paul did walk, that he walked approximately 20 to 30 kilometers a day, which is about 12 to 19 miles a day. You know, I was doing sports all day yesterday with my boys, and I didn't even reach 10 miles. I barely broke 7 miles. But Paul, whenever he would walk to preach the gospel, he would walk 12 to 19 miles a day. That's unbelievable. Paul was in shape, would you say? Paul is in great shape. But to do what God had called him to do, that's what it required. It required him disciplining his body. Had he not been a good steward over his body, those missionary journeys would have been impossible. See, we're not called only to be a good steward over our money and our finances and our kids, but God has also given us a body. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we are to be a good steward over what God has been given to us. See, here's the thing. The health or sickness, we are made up of mind, body, and soul. And so the health or sickness of one affects the health or sickness of the others. The book of Proverbs will word it like this. It says, a heart at peace is life to the body. So our emotions have a tremendous effect on our physical health. And our physical health have a tremendous effect on our emotions and our soul. You know, if you feel with anger and you feel with bitterness and you feel with resentment, you can't expect yourself to be in optimum health. You can't expect yourself to be in perfect health whenever you have all these mental things going on in your life. Is this making sense to anybody? And so if our bodies are out of shape, or if our bodies are not able to function as they should, our minds will be affected, the way that we perceive ourselves. Because we're out of shape, we perceive ourselves as out of shape, we perceive ourselves as unfit, we perceive ourselves as unable. Therefore, we're limited to do what maybe God is possibly calling us to do. If you're not confident with your body, you won't be confident with your witness. If you're not confident with your body and how you've been a steward over your body, how are you going to be confident whenever you're telling someone about Jesus? So besides Paul, there are several other people in the Bible who were called upon to do something really great, which required a good physique. All right, so we look at, first of all, we look at Ahimaaz. Everybody's like, who in the world is Ahimaaz? Well, he was a runner, and so after the victory, after David's army had defeated their enemy, Ahimaaz says, hey, look, I'm going to bring the word back to King David that our enemies have been defeated. Well, before him is a Cushite that says, hey, look, I'm going to go and bring the message to David that our enemy has been defeated. So Ahimaaz, he outruns the Cushite. He says, look, I'm going to bring this message to David. And so how many got, as I can tell you, running requires discipline. You don't just get up and run a long distance. You plan for that. You discipline your body. And so anyway, Ahimaaz, he outruns the Cushite. And then we see Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who went to the tomb. This is after Jesus had, after he was crucified. They go to his tomb. And instead of being met with Jesus, they are met with an angel. And the angel tells them this. The angel says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. So again, we see running, and we see that, hey, look, they had worked themselves up to a point. They had disciplined the body up to that point, so that way whenever the angel of the Lord told them to do something, to go quickly, that they were not limited by their physique, and they was able to do that which God had called them to do. And then we see the disciples, whenever Jesus told them to go to the other side, he said, look, I'm going to meet you there, but I want you to go to the other side. Jesus said this knowing that they would be going against the wind. Now, this was approximately 10 and a half miles that they would travel in a boat against the wind. Anybody ever been in a pirogue and you tried traveling against the wind? I mean, you know what a difficult task that is. But it says that they were making advance, and that they were making some progress, and that they were doing well, and that Jesus actually intended to pass them on by. Why? Because beforehand, they had disciplined themselves in rowing the boat. They had trained themselves for rowing the boat. So whenever Jesus told them to go to the other side, they would not be limited by their physique. You know, in the same story, we see that Jesus, he goes up a mountain to pray. Anybody ever walked up a mountain to do anything? How many guys went to El Salvador with us? Yep. And so whenever we talk about going up a mountain to pray, you know exactly what we're talking about, right? Because that mountain, the prayer tower is on top of a mountain, and that thing is no joke. I mean, you've got to be in some pretty good physique just to get up the mountain to pray. Jesus himself went up a mountain to pray. He himself took care of his body. He walked. He did different things. So it's important to get fit, that whenever you're called upon to do something great for God, that you're not disqualified because of your physique. And so Ms. Tara said that we're going to El Salvador, and we encourage all of you to go to El Salvador. But let me just warn you ahead of time, you're going to be dancing in the sun all day long. And you're going to be carrying luggage and different things all day long. And you're going to be sweating, and you're going to want to die, but you're going to have to keep pressing on all day long. And so you want to go to El Salvador, you want to do something good for God, but then are you limited because of your physique? Are you being a good steward over your body? So the next point I want to bring to you guys is get fit to prolong your life. And we read in Deuteronomy 6:2, it says, keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So this scripture and several scriptures like this point to the idea that God wants to bless us with a long life. How many of you guys would say that long life is something good? That you would want many, many, many years, that you would want to see your sons and your grandsons and your great-grandsons? I believe that's the hope that we all have. And the crown of life is the amount of years that you lived on this earth. And so living in 2019, we all know that every doctor would say the same thing. If you want to prolong your life, then you need to look at what your physical activity, and you need to look at what you're putting into your body. Because if you're putting junk into your body, you're going to get junky results. If you're not being active with your body, if you're sowing into your body corruption, you're going to reap death. But if you're sowing into your body that which is of the Spirit, then you will reap eternal life. Amen? So, he promises to give us long life. And so, to do this, you know, it requires us to watch what we eat. I'm not saying, yeah, I'm watching what I eat. I'll make sure it's on the fork before it goes in my mouth, right? We got to watch what we are putting into this temple, because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Or some people might say, yeah, I'm on the seafood diet. Everything I see, I eat, right? We're not talking about that diet either. It sounds like a good diet, but really and truly, we as Christians, as believers, hey, look, we are responsible for what goes in the temple of God. That we are carriers of his presence. We are carriers of the presence of God. You know, the way that people perceive you, or the way that people perceive God, is through you. They will see your physical body first, right? And so if we are to demonstrate the goodness of God, then we must also demonstrate the fact that, hey, look, I'm going to be a good steward over this body that he has given to me. If you're sowing junk into your body, you're going to reap junky results. So this is my personal opinion. My wife said I shouldn't say it because she doesn't agree with it. But this is my personal opinion right here. So in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God was so concerned about what they ate that he said, look, there are clean things that you can't eat, and there are unclean things that you cannot eat. And so among those unclean things that we cannot eat was pigs, right? Was pigs. And so hepatitis, y'all looking at me like, man, what in the world, man? This guy here is nuts. He is out of his mind. He's going to tell me I can't eat pigs. Man, this is like in the South Louisiana. What's your problem, Pastor? I'm not going to tell you what you can or what you cannot eat. If you want to eat pigs, hey, go right on ahead. But here's what I will do. I'm just going to kind of, like, some of the research that I came across did, in fact, link pig meat to four major diseases. Hepatitis E, which affects 20 million people every year. They say that one out of every 10 pig livers contain hepatitis E. And while it might start off as a small disease, it can lead to something much larger. Some of the other diseases that it was linked to was multiple sclerosis, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver. How many people you have heard have cirrhosis of the liver? And I would ask you, do they have a large diet of pig meat in their diet? And so these are just observations. This is not Bible. This is my own opinion. Let me just clarify that. But is it possible that the reason Jesus was serving fish for the disciples instead of pig meat, instead of bacon for breakfast, because it was a much healthier choice? You know, whenever the disciples are out fishing right in the boat and Jesus is making breakfast for them, he didn't throw in the pig fat, he didn't throw in the bacon, and he didn't throw in the ham. He's cooking his fish, right? Why fish? Well, fish is high in omega-3. And fish will help fight heart disease. And so some nutritionists actually suggest eating fish twice a week. All right? So this is, again, that was my opinion. Now we're going to move on to other things. All right? The truth of the matter is that we are called to steward our bodies just as we are called to steward our money. And so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures just to kind of back me up, because all you guys are ready to throw things at me. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17, it says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. I'll read it again, because the word of God can say so much more than what I can say. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Now that's hearing it from the word of God. That's hearing it from the word of God, not from me, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are carriers of his presence, and that we are responsible for how we treat our bodies. My suggestion to you in trying to live a long, healthy life, to be around for your kids and be around for your grandkids, find a healthy eating plan that works for you. I'm not going to tell you what to eat and what not to eat, but find something that works for you and just stick with it. Be resolute about it. You know, make those choices. Make those, hey, I'm going to start, instead of parking right next to the store, you're right at the front door, I'm going to park all the way in the end of the parking lot. That way I have to walk more. Just simple things like this that you can apply to your life. Instead of drinking that soda, I'm going to change it out for water. Instead of eating that snack, that candy, I'm going to choose a fruit instead. And so just making small choices, these small little steps that you can begin to take and apply to your life, and just believe that God is going to move on your behalf. So the next thing is get fit for the glory of God. Get fit for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So here we go with that again. How the emphasis is that Paul is trying to make. He's like, look, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But then he says, whom you have from God. In other words, God has given you your body. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So whenever Christ died on the cross, he didn't die just for our spirit. He died for our physical bodies as well. He died for all of who we are, because it's through your body that you live, you move, and you have your being. It's through your body that you interact with others and that you demonstrate the love of Christ to others. It is through your body. So when Christ came, he came for all of you. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. You know, like if I have my truck, I can, Tara talked about my truck and how I don't treat it as good as I should. So if I have my truck, I have purchased that truck, I have the right to treat my body, that truck, the way I want to treat that truck. Why? Because it's mine, right? But thank you, Messiah. But as a Christian, as a believer in Christ Jesus, your body doesn't belong to you. Christ has bought your body. So therefore, we ought to glorify Christ with our body. So is Christ glorified by the way that you have been treating your body? Is Christ glorified by the way you've been treating your body? So the word glorify means to hold in honor. You know, we do this by keeping the body holy. Yes, we want to keep it free from sin. But we also want to keep it acceptable unto him. The truth is, we are made in the image and likeness of God, and we are to reflect his goodness on the earth. That when people see you, they see the image of God, they see the glory of God. Paul takes it a step further. He says in Romans 12, 1, he says, I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So Paul says, hey, look, as you're disciplining your body, as you're walking around the block, as you're making healthy eating choices, you are worshiping God. But you are honoring God by making right choices. You're bringing glory to God. It says, it is your spiritual worship. That's encouraging. That should help you, right? That should help motivate you. Hey, I'm doing this for the glory of God. I'm walking this block for the glory of God. I want to honor God with my body. I'm going to make another lap. Hey, I'm going to park at the next store's parking lot because I'm going to glorify God with my body. Amen. I got like one amen off of that. I thought that was pretty good. I got one amen. Thanks. I got two. 2 Timothy 4, 7 says, see, at the end of Paul's life, whenever he was able to talk to Timothy, he's given him some direction, some wisdom. He says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so that's why we discipline our bodies. We do it so that way at the end of our life we say, God, I've done everything you've asked me to do. I was not limited by my physique. I was not limited. God, I've done everything. I finished the race. I was not hindered. And I do it all for the glory of God. Amen. Now, I have this video that I want to show you guys as I end out this service. My wife says no, but I think we should show it anyway. I think it's gonna be helpful just to kind of take things in perspective from a doctor's point of view. So if we could crank up the volume on this and restart it, that way everybody can hear it.
Six pack of soda every day.
Can we restart it?
I'm going to start with Colby. When you came into my office, we had a form that you filled out, and I was kind of shocked when I looked at what you said you drank. 6-pack of soda every day, 3 sweet iced teas, 6 glasses per day of some sort of a juice, and then throwing in a sports drink every day. And this is without the fast food. How much sugar do you think you're taking in every day?
It's gotta be out of this world. I mean,
the daily sugar is 1.25 pounds a day, and the yearly is, help me with this, Bob. Oh my God. 460 pounds of sugar a year.
It's crazy. It definitely made more sense today that, you know, I'm leading myself down a dark road that could self-destruct.
I'm a firm believer in the food choices we make, and you're eating this, it is aging you like that.
You are absolutely right on. This is a poison. That's a poison. That's a poison.
Excessive weight causes infertility, not only in women, but in men. So if Hope and Colby want to get pregnant, number 1, 2, and 3, get your act together, get your weight ideal, and get your diet perfect.
Jackie, your daughter, you told me she is struggling with her weight. How old is she?
She's 12. You know, she needs our help, and that's why we're here. You know, we left our kids, which is so hard as a parent to leave both your children and know that mom and dad aren't there. But we did this because we realized we need this. We need help, and we need to be able to take this home and, you know, make food a priority.
Food needs to be the number one thing in everyone's to-do list.
Toy, this year you happen to have the most excess fat, and that's strangling your body on a lot of different levels.
Toy has 218 pounds of hydrated fat that's wreaking havoc on the entire body.
I want to show you what 218 pounds of excessive hydrated fat looks like.
Dr. Huizenga starts pouring this fat pound after pound after pound of fat, and it just kept filling up and kept filling up. I mean, it was just disgusting.
That is disgusting.
We've got 2 more, Dr. Huizenga.
Now there's an image. That's gonna stick with me. This is excess blubber, just dripping and oozing as Dr. Huizenga put his hand through it, and it stuck to his hand as it came up. It will be something I reflect back on. That's helpful. I'm glad to see it.
218 pounds of hydrated fat. What do you think when you see that, Toy?
I never think of it like this because you can't see it. So it's definitely opening my eyes to what I'm actually doing to myself. I know how heavy I am, but to actually see something tangible that I can say, this is what you're doing to yourself, it was heartbreaking.
Rob, we all know that you're the oldest contestant. Where or what do you think of when you see this date? Do you have anything planned for then? This is what statistics tell us is going to be the day you die.
I believe it.
So, Rob, if you don't make some major changes, that's only less than 5 years from now.
It was a gradual gaining of weight over the years, but around 2008, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, had one operation. A year later, had to have another operation. And my best friend and mentor in life passed away. I just became numb, and I just started eating more and more. And I think my relationship with food is just it's a numbing agent.
Well, I'm not gonna do it. I refuse.
There's a lot on the line for me, being alive, for my wife, for my family, for my grandson. I just don't know what plan B is, I'm sorry.
You can get back years and years, decades. You have the power. It's not gonna be easy, but it's doable.
I'm seeing that now. These 2 weeks are changing my life.
Man. You know, the whole idea, the reason I show this is, look, we're to be stewards of our bodies. You know, we the Bible says, look, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I say this in the most loving way, you know, that I present this message in the most loving way. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not looking down upon anybody. I'm just urging you, you know, like if you evaluate yourself and you look at yourself and you say, you know what, I have not been a good steward over God's body, over this body that God has given me. I've filled it with junk, and I've done some really bad things. I haven't been active in all these. Hey, look, just like he said, hey, you can change. You can change. Hey, look, for me, whenever I was out of shape, even though I was skinny, I was still out of shape. I said, hey, you know what, I'm going to change my ways. I want to be healthy for my kids. I want to be able to play basketball and football with my kids. I don't want to be like hunched over 5 minutes into it. I want to be able to be involved in their life. And so I believe this message, though it may be hurtful for us, it may be hard for us to swallow, I want you just to kind of maybe evaluate your own life and say, and answer the question, have I been a good steward over what God has given me? And if not, that you'll be willing to make some changes today. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be stewards over these bodies. Lord, that we are to discipline them, as Paul talks about, Lord God, and to make them obedient, Lord God, and that we are not to give in to the lust of our flesh. But Lord, as we discipline our bodies, we also learn that we're disciplining our spirits, and that you are making us more and more like you, Father God. So Lord, I pray for each and every person in this place today, God, that you will give them the strength, Lord, to be resolute this year in making some life changes, in making changes, Lord God, in their wellness. Lord, you will be their strength. And Lord, you will show them what steps they need to take today. God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, for those of us, God, who have not honored you, Lord, with our bodies, we ask that you would forgive us. Lord, and that you would help us to be a good steward with that which you have given to us. God, we love you, and we give you all the praise in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before you, this right here is a paper. It says 2019, moving from resolutions to being resolute. We have spiritual goals, financial goals, relationship goals, and healthy and emotion goals. Grab one at the welcome desk, fill it out, and post it somewhere that you can say, you know what, I wanna be different. I wanna be a resolute person. So we encourage you to do that. Number two, our thrift store is open. Go and buy some good things. And El Salvador meeting is right here after church right now. So thrift store is open, though, so make sure you go and grab some things. Make sure you grab one of these. Set some goals for your life.